It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember.
Asked me to cover part of the show today, so you got me, Mark Stevens, author of Adventures in Legaland. My website, of course, markstevens.net, and you can listen here to the broadcast today, LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM, the Liberty Radio Network. I'm glad to be here, and wow, what a weekend! And as listeners to the show know, we had the Freedom Summit here in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Sheraton Crescent Hotel, and I was there for Saturday and Sunday. I did my talk yesterday, and great time. It was a great time. I was glad to see everyone come out. It was a good show. We had a lot of fun. It's always great to be around people who are, you know, like-minded, and most of us there were, understanding the very simple concept that, threatening people and killing people and putting them in cages just to provide a service, not such a good idea. Not the best way to Not the best way to do things, and we can't take calls today. But if you want, you can Skype me. You can IM me on the Skype. You can do so. You just go to Mark Steve. Well, it's actually the No State Project after my radio show. No State Project, where we're sticking it to the man one show at a time, and you can instant message me there, and my email markstevens@markstevens.net. That's M-A-R-C and Stevens with the V, markstevens@markstevens.net. So I'm glad to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity that, you know, Ernie putting on the Freedom Summit now since 2001. So this is, I think, the 10th one that he's done, and he puts that together with Mark Victor. And we had Stu Crone, who gave an awesome talk this weekend, who was a guest on my show on Saturday. It's their brainchild. They put it together, and I do appreciate that. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak yesterday. That was a really good time, and they posted that on. It was streaming it live at freedomsphoenix.com, where you can get that. And I don't know if they're archived or not, but hopefully, I'm sure they probably are, that we'll be able to get them up on YouTube or one of the other hosting sites so that you can see all the talks. One of my favorite, of course, yesterday, Butler Schaefer. And if you're not familiar with Butler Schaefer, you can get most of his writings at lourockwell.com. Check that out. He was talking about how mostly everything and, you know, so-called crimes always involve a violation of someone's property. And so he gave a really good talk. But then again, you know, Butler's talks are always really good. And I'm hoping to have Mr. Schaefer on my show again really soon. He was actually – well, Ernie, in the first month that I did my show, Ernest Hancock, of course, was the first one to have me on. When I first had, hopefully we'll get the mic bumped up here in a moment. Hopefully everybody can hear me now. But Ernie was the first one after I had released my book that put me on his show. He had been doing a show years ago because that Ernie's been doing this at this a long time. And so when I first started doing the show, of course, I had Ernie on as my first guest, and I had Frederick Mann. And I think it was a week or so after that I met Butler Schaefer at the airport. I was coming back from Portland from doing a workshop, and I believe, if I remember correctly, Butler was coming back from the Freedom Summit. So I think it was just going back to 2005 or 2006. And so Butler agreed to do the show, and so that's why I joke around that I peaked in my first month. But, I mentioned that to Stefan Molyneux, so he got a kick out of that. But it was a good time, and I do appreciate that and looking forward to next year's. And, you know, the basic premise is the non-aggression principle. This is, you know, so this is something that we talked about a lot, and, you know, this is why government should be abolished as soon as society has evolved enough to accept it. Then that's the biggest problem, I think, is not so much convincing people that government needs to be abolished, but, you know, when you see things like what we spoke about on the show on Saturday, when you see things like Black Friday, it kind of gives you, you know, you kind of lose hope for humanity when you see things like that, the way people were acting that in the midst of some of the worst financial conditions, we've seen in the past, let's say 65, 70 years, and people are going out and doing the very same thing that got us in this problem in the first place. So, but when you get to something like the Freedom Summit, and you get to see people, you know, new people, people who are not familiar with the material coming in and spreading the material, you know, and they're telling their friends and their family. It gives you a lot of hope, and so you see that the word is getting out there, and that's encouraging. So one of the things they accomplish with the Freedom Summit is to basically get an idea of where liberty sits. Like, how much progress have we made? How does the next year look? And I'm thinking it looks pretty good. I think it looks pretty good. We're reaching a lot more people. When I did my workshop in McAllen, Texas, most of the people there were not voluntarists when they first came in. But by sticking to the non-aggression principle, and that the, you know, because a lot of people had been, let's say Republicans, and, so they talk a lot about sticking to first principles. And by sticking to the first principle, which is the initiation of physical force is wrong, then it's very difficult for somebody to continue maintaining any kind of belief that you need government. Because basically when you say you need government, you're saying you need to shoot people in order to provide services, you know, whatever, or products, whether it be roads or the military, it doesn't matter. So I think it's very encouraging. And, we're actually getting a lot more wins, if you want to call it that, but a lot more tickets and complaints being thrown out against people. We'll talk about that more later. But Armando, who does the Rio Grande Valley No Stay Project, RGV, nostate.com, and I have that linked on the website if I'm getting that wrong, so you can go to markstevens.net and you can get that, but he just had another complaint withdrawn, which is really great. He's got a citation, a minor thing, that I'll probably have him on a show this weekend, hopefully, and we can discuss more about that, but he's got some details about it. Up on my website, markstevens.net, you just go on the forum and you can check that out. But that's what it all boils down to. You have people that may say, oh, what, you're an extremist, you're an anti-government extremist, and other pejorative or ridiculous statements like that. No, it's just I'm like you, I'm like everybody else. I own myself, and I think it's wrong to initiate physical force against somebody regardless of what I'm trying to accomplish, whether I want to build a road or whether I want to build a library or I want to raise an army. I think that forcing people to pay for services or products is wrong. And I always tell people, you know, if you've got somebody who disagrees with that, then don't waste your time talking with this individual. You're obviously dealing with somebody who is not willing to deal with you on a rational basis, because it is irrational as well, of course, and moral to initiate force against somebody who is not aggressing against you. Well, actually, if they're aggressing against you, they are the ones initiating force. So bottom line, initiating force is always wrong. So regardless of what the excuse may be, oh, well, we got to build this road and we got... No. No, that's not the way it works. It's always wrong to initiate physical force, and that's why we oppose government. So when I had spoken yesterday, it was that it should be relevant or enough or sufficient just to point out to people that the means are inconsistent with the end, and that's why we want to have government. But unfortunately, we got a lot of emotional trauma to get past, and conditioning and brainwashing. We get past what we want to do, defend government. My name is Mark Stevens. You're listening to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock here on LRN.FM. We'll be back in just a moment.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, welcome back to Ernest Hancock's Declare Your Independence Live from the Freedom Phoenix Studio. I'm your host, Mark Stevens. Today I'm filling in for Ernie, and he may be in for next hour, and we'll hope to see him there. But you can also listen to, you make sure you listen to the show. You tune in at LRN.FM, that's LRN.FM, for local affiliates. You can also listen on your phone. If you have a smartphone, you can listen anywhere. And I think you can also listen at 760-569-7753. That's 760-569-7753. Of course, my website, markstevens.net, the author of Adventures in Legal Land. And that's really how I met Ernest Hancock. I wrote the book, and some friends of mine had known Ernie and said, yeah, he's a libertarian. He'd probably have you on the show. Actually, probably the only libertarian in Phoenix that has ever had me on an AM station. On a show on an AM station, so kudos, and I always am thankful and grateful for that, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to join you today here, not taking calls, but we can, if you want to have a question or a comment discussing freedom, liberty, you know, voluntary society, civil disobedience, all that good stuff, you can instant message me. You can just look up Mark Stevens on Skype. It's actually or the No State Project chat that we have, sticking it to the man one show at a time. My Skype username is actually Mark. Is actually Frank Rizzo with the number 3, so it's Frank Rizzo 3, so you can instant message me there. But we're talking about freedom, talking about liberty. And I wanted to, you know, one of the things that I, speaking with a lot of people and being able to have contact with a lot of people, you know, because of the radio show and things like Freedom Summit, the one thing that really is in the way of getting to a voluntary society, I think, is of course, like, and this is why Ernie has always said that declare your independence, it doesn't require a form, it doesn't require permission, it's all between your ears, it's when you decide to be, and I think the biggest obstacle that we have, and this is something, you know, that we heard yesterday again, is that people are afraid, they're scared. You know, so people actually think that if they were to stop filing a tax return, for example, because, you know, the man is still getting his money, but they think that they, if they stopped and they did not file a tax return by April 15th, that there would be immediate violence. And fortunately, that's not true. Unless you're in, extreme circumstances, which I've never worked with anyone under this, even in so-called jeopardy assessments, the violence is not immediate. If, you know, April 15th, comes and goes, on April 16th, they're not bulldozing your house like they did in Waco, which, of course, was over taxes. Only $200 worth of taxes, too, by the way. But it could be years. If violence is going to be employed, not filing a tax return, it could be years before any violence is actually employed. And if it's handled properly, and you don't just blow things off and ignore things, because I know that's my first impression too of why would I even have to respond to these lunatics? But that's usually the best way to handle it, is to take care of it right away. Hey! I'm willing to resolve this. You've got an issue here. You think I have an obligation to file a tax return? Then let's deal with this. Let's take care of this. If that's what you think, all right. And so you handle it right away, because in my opinion, I believe that if we want to stop wars, if we want to stop all government abuse, we have to stop paying for it. And so what I've said for a long time is, a police officer is not going to be too willing to beat the living crap out of you or other people on a regular basis if he's not getting paid. If he's not getting paid, usually they have families. And I've mentioned on the show that I have a police officer who's a friend of mine. He lives down the street and lives two houses down from me. Not that he's the type of guy that would beat people because you'd never know he was a cop from speaking with him. But whatever abuse he or other cops may be inflicting on people, they're going to be little. They're probably not going to do it if they can't make their house payment. If they can't buy their family food, then they're probably not going to be too inclined to beat you up. Although there may be a friend that, you know, somebody would beat the crap out of you, take some money so they could feed their family, you know, kind of do the taxation directly, instead of enjoying the fruits of taxation indirectly like they do now. But it all stems from the fact that we are afraid to stop paying them. And so one thing, you know, that's what, when I asked everybody yesterday at the Freedom Summit, why don't you stop filing tax returns? Well, out of fear. I mean, you know, they admit it. And it's fear. So that's why I talk more about civil disobedience, nonviolent non-cooperation, that does not really involve situations where you are running the risk of going to jail of somebody initiating physical force against you. That's why, you know, because there's like a two-pronged thing that when you look at civil disobedience, and, you know, if you take things like what I mentioned yesterday, my wife Gina burning the garden, or people fishing without a license, things like this, or what I did yesterday, I did the heinous crime. I was not collecting any kind of sales tax when I sold books. So here I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and I guess this could be the weekly spotlight. I'll have to put that on the website today, that I had sold books yesterday, Adventures of Legoland, and I did not collect any kind of sales tax. Now, a lot of people would tell me, well, you know, on that transaction, it's a privilege to do that in the city of Phoenix, and that because it's a privilege, and because they say so, that there is a percentage, I think it's like, let's just say 10% to make it easy, I should have collected, let's say, $1.50 in addition to the $15 for the book, which I did not do. So that was my weekly act of civil disobedience there, among many. People may say it's not a big deal, like, you know, selling the books or burning the garden or fishing without a license, because it's not necessarily that, we're not necessarily doing that to make a big stink or to get on the news or to change some huge policy. What we're doing is we're showing people that you shouldn't have this fear of living free. You shouldn't, you know, it's not a big deal to fish without a license. So the fear is usually grossly overestimated. I mean, yes, there's a fear, you know, there should be, there's a risk to doing anything in public or doing any, even in your house nowadays, you have to talking to Stu Crone on Saturday. But this fear, it takes care of this fear to alleviate some of the fear that people have, because they have this reverence, which is completely misplaced, for what is called the law. And so when you do acts of nonviolent non-cooperation, even when it doesn't have a high risk of retaliation from the man, the people that are around you that are watching this are going to feel a little bit more emboldened and empowered to be able to do the same thing, because they're seeing, hey, you know, this is no big deal. It's not like the man is sending all the goons down here to shut us down and to throw me in prison. And the law is a little less sacred because you've done that. So that's one of the other parts of doing nonviolent non-cooperation, is to take away the sacredness that people hold for the law. We'll talk about this in a moment when we get back here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I'm your host today, Mark Stevens, and this is LRN.FM. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, we have...
You're not, Mark. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Thank you. So a little glitch in the system there. You know, when you're talking about the truth like we are here, the man is gonna send his little gremlins in there to take care of things. But what we were talking about before the break is about fear. Fear. And that's what's really keeping people, that's what's getting us, keeping the system the way it is out of fear. And, you know, if people could just drop some of the fear, and that's what I wanted to accomplish with the book, Adventures in Legoland, was to help alleviate some of that fear and empower people that don't be so afraid to challenge the IRS. You're just challenging an accountant or a parking ticket or some kind of traffic ticket or even drug possession, which, of course, is a lot more risky. But, you know, the evolution that they speak about, you know, on freeking.com is going to require people to kind of grow up and kind of shed the fear instead of cowering like children to actually take some responsibility. So if you want to be free, the only thing really stopping, at least us in this part of the world, which the only thing that's really stopping you is you. You know, we make calculated decisions, and what do we say? We got Morpheus here from Freedom's Phoenix. We make calculated decisions that, no, I don't want to do it today. So, you know, but the way I look at it is, and we were talking about this yesterday, you've been watching us. You have kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, our kids are watching us, and so they see this. So, like, when I mentioned that my kids saw a bureaucrat, I mean, she came unglued, Morphy. I mean, she, this is at the East Mesa Justice Court, she went nuts. All I want to do is pay. And she kept on insisting I had to file an answer. I said, no, I'm filing a motion to dismiss. If the judge denies it, then I'll file an answer. I just need to pay and go. She's screaming at me. And, of course, the security guard jumps up and she starts screaming at me that I have to calm down and I got to treat them with respect. And my kids are like, what is going on? And so, you know, she asked me, Daddy, why is the woman screaming at you? You didn't do anything. So that's when I figured, well, this is a teaching moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I did was I said, well, honey, unlike these people, see, Daddy provides a service on a voluntary basis. You know, Daddy doesn't threaten people, to provide a service. Those people, they have to, and so that's really the basis. That's why they think they can get away with treating us like this, and that's why they do that. But you were at a protest today.
Well, actually, I don't go to protests. I go to demonstrations only. And we were demonstrating for a gentleman named Terry Lakin. Terry Lakin, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, 18-year veteran. In the Army, and he has asked the President to produce his documentation to show that he actually has the right to be the Commander-in-Chief according to the United States Constitution. I mean, as long as these psychopaths are going to be running around telling people that they have to follow the rules, well, then it seems fairly logical to say that they should have to follow the rules. Doesn't that make sense, Mark?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So this, all they want is for him to verify this.
Right, and he's actually up for court-martial, and from what I understand, a little bit of, you know, the information I got was at the demonstration, is that they're not allowing this lieutenant colonel with 18 years of service to contest any of the info, or to be able to present any evidence, call any witnesses, and of course it's a military court, and military courts, you really don't have any rights. You don't really have any rights? You don't have any rights, because you are the property of the United States military. You are actually one of their slaves when you're in the military, and you have to follow their rules, and their rules are they can do whatever they want. And that's the way it is. Now, he has refused, from what I'm understanding, and I would just, you know, get a little more information because I wasn't aware of the whole situation, but a friend of mine, Ed Vallejo, called me up at about 10 o'clock and said, hey, man, we're having a demonstration down at John McCain's office, and then we're going to John Kyle's office, and we're going to be out there demonstrating for this gentleman who is not receiving any semblance of justice. I mean, the de facto government has a obligation to the slaves and those people that are hypnotized to understand that they have some kind of legitimacy. And when they get into trouble is when they don't show their at least have some legitimate reason for their existence. So they put on all these airs. They have a whole bunch of different words that they use for different things and to confuse people. Like what they like to do is when they steal something, they call it confiscation or they call it seizure. But really, there's nothing different than being able to, if you take somebody's property, that is stealing. And what they want to do is confuse people by, because it's a word war, it's a mind war, it's a psychic war.
Yeah.
They are doing everything they can to put people to sleep so they can continue to fleece the sheeple.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of ironic, though, that, and I don't want to take too much away from what was being done to them, but it's kind of ironic that someone who's high up in the military is calling into question the legitimacy of someone further up,
right,
on the chain of just one big, you know, castle made on sand, you know, castle made on sand. So it's kind of ironic that way that he's looking for legitimacy from
the de facto government, which is, you know, it's just a big corporation. Now, understand that the de facto government is just a big corporation. It's no different than living in a gigantic Walmart. And what they do is the preponderance is, or the presumption is that you work for the corporation because you have a driver's license, because you have a birth certificate, because you have a Social Security card. They presume that you are one of their employees. And guess what? When you work for somebody, you don't get rights. Your supposed rights are thrown out the window. So they are supposing that you are one of their slaves.
Well, yeah, slave is the, yeah, they just use different words like, you know, citizen and resident, things like that. This is Declaring Your Independence with Ernest Hancock here on LLN.FM. I'm your guest host today, Mark Stevens. My new website, markstevens.net. We'll be back in just a few moments. Don't go away.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, get over it. This is Declaring Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I am your guest host today, Mark Stevens, author of Adventures in Legoland, and I'm glad to be here in the Freedom's Phoenix studio. Appreciate the opportunity to cover for Ernest Hancock today, and of course, I really appreciate the opportunity to be a speaker and participate in the Freedom Summit 2010, and we should have an archive of that, and I know it was streamed, and I had to see some part of that live. I watched Gary Franchi's talk yesterday morning. Had a problem getting over to Phoenix yesterday, but so I got to watch that, which was great. And Gary, actually, regular guest on the show, he runs the RTR.org, which is what I think is like a liberty-oriented alternative to Facebook. I don't know, another data mining and all that other crap. So you can check RTR.org out. My website, markstevens.net. I do a show here, right here on Saturdays. Ernie allows me to use the studio, do my show, The No Snow Project. And we think a lot alike. I like Ernie a lot. And the whole idea is of the Declare Your Independence is really the same as my show, is to bring about a voluntary society, to get rid of this idea that it is okay to threaten people or to put them in put them in a cage and take their stuff to provide services and products. And so what we were talking about earlier, it's fear. I mean, it is the paradigm or the concepts that keep people like Jan Brewer and Joe Arpaio or Rick Perry or Barack Obama, whoever it is, Gordon Brown. The structure that is so flimsy that keeps them in place to be able to continue working the farm, that we're just chattel. We just chattel property to them. We're cattle, and it's all because not enough people are standing up. They're just too damn afraid. It just comes down to fear, and if you can shed your fear and we start living free and start doing things without asking permission, that'll start to snowball. And that's sort of like, and I know I use, I like to use what the Keeniacs are doing. You had freekeen.com, Ian from Free Talk Live, who, with LRN.FM also. They got a great model there where, not that you have to participate in a daily 420, but it's a good model that where something with a lot of risk to it, by the way, where it can start off with just a few people taking the risk, and there's always going to be that risk, but after others see that nothing is happening, there's a little less fear. And so people are a little more willing to go to bat. And so the more people that they have doing it, so if we had, 10,000 Ernie Hancocks? If we had 10,000 Ernest Hancocks out there, would we have a government around for very long?
We'd have some serious trouble. That's what we'd have.
No, I don't think it would take. I think it would take maybe 5 or 6.
Wow. Well, that's probably true. Knowing Ernie.
It's logarithmic. you know, it expands and then it expands. It's like, you know, the next billionaire isn't even born yet, or the next trillionaire. Or, you know what I mean? It's rhythmic.
Yeah, that's
this,
true.
This is a...
Get a little closer here. This is the I don't say the disease, but the knowledge of that you own yourself, and once you fully comprehend the idea that you own your life and no one has leaned to your life before you, and fully understanding and believing and walking the path that you own your life is such a viral infection into the mind of a human being that once it is seated in your mind, it is impossible to stop it from moving forward.
Yeah, it is very empowering. It shouldn't be considered, you know, revolutionary. I mean, it's a basic concept. Like Ernie mentioned about the grandchild this weekend, 8 months old, I think, or so, and the toy, mine. It's a very simple concept. And I think it was, I forget who said it, maybe it was Steph Molyneux, that about the kindergartner, that we all understand. I forget the phrase. And you see, here I bring it up, and I can't even remember what the phrase was, but it was the fact that we all understand, you know, all you need is the understanding of a kindergartner to understand that it's wrong to aggress against other people. And somehow, as we get older, of course, because when you start school, 5, so I guess from the time you're 5 years old, they have to force that out of you.
You know, I look at it as like a big mass hypnotism. You know, all the forces are employed. And one of the gentlemen, I don't even remember who it was at the summit, mentioned it's like we have some magicians, and the magicians is talking to the sheep, and he convinces some of the sheep that they're magicians, that they are policemen, and they are different things. But they're all really sheep. And then he teaches some of them that they're magicians, and they go out and start hypnotizing people. What we have is we have a society that is under a state of mass hypnosis, and you need to wake up. Just wake up and understand that you are a sentient being. No one, there's a reason for your existence, because if there was no reason for you not to exist, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I think people are paralyzed by the fear, though. They can understand that they own themselves, and you know, look, all they can do is kill you. They really can't force you to do anything. You have to agree to do it. They can just kill the body. They're paralyzed by the fear of, because you get this tight, you know, social structure where you got friends and family. It's the idea that you'll be ostracized. Now, someone like Ernest Taylor, me or you, we don't care. Or Stefan Molyneux. But people are thinking, what are my friends and family? If I stop filing a tax return, if I don't pay taxes, or if I'm growing marijuana, I know my wife is going to hate this, but if I'm growing marijuana or just freely trading without paying, you know, sales tax or keeping records, my friends and family would think I'm some kind of extremist.
Well, you know, with this SB 1070 that the Senate just passed, if you grow apples, Mark, then you will be under the auspices of Homeland Security. You will be regulated if you grow broccoli.
It's 1070, 1070.
Oh, no, excuse me, that's SB 510, excuse me. Thank you for correcting me. But they are making it so a basic thing that human beings have been doing since the beginning of time, which is either grow or cultivate or harvest food, is now a crime. So where does it end? I mean, if you don't have the right to feed yourself, then are you alive? Are you? At what point do you have to be shown that they're doing everything in their power to convince you that you are a slave? And wake up and just walk the walk and just step out. And here's the interesting thing, and I was thinking when you were talking, Mark, is that there is a idea that if you put a bunch of crabs into a bucket of water, you don't have to put a lid on it. The reason why is because the other crabs will see that if one crab starts to escape, the other crabs will pull that other the crab back into the pail.
Right.
So what we have is it's like an auto domestication process that the bad guys have convinced us into believing that you're powerless, and if someone else if someone breaks out of the of this mass hypnosis paradigm that we have been forced into, then the other crabs or the other sheep are going to ask you, what are you doing, Mark? You know you can't do that. You can't fight City Hall. Don't you know anything? I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're going to try to pull you back. They're going to try to dissuade you from doing that. And I get calls, or I get emails all the time from that, where I just can't deal with the family. That, you know, we had someone who called the show that I did. I was a guest on Saturday Night on the Rage, and we'll have that archive up real soon for those who weren't able to catch that live on Saturday Night. And he refused to stand up to do the Pledge of Allegiance because for some reason at his church they were doing it. And it was pretty bad. He was berated by what was supposed to be a man of God, you know, someone who teaches charity and love and benevolence, and he berated him about it. And the guy went up crying. I mean, you know, so here is, you know, so it's one of these things where one tried to climb out and the rest had to pull him back in. We'll be back in just a moment here on Ernest Hancock's Declare Your Independence on LRN.FM. If you have a question or comment, you can Skype me. My username is Frank Rizzo 3. That's Frank Rizzo 3. So don't go away. We'll be right back.